Glenn Healy, is our NHL analyst on Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL and Sportsnet. He's our regular Monday insider. Glenn Healy joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Glenn, it's funny because last week, actually 2 weeks ago, some of the guys in Toronto, some of the better connected writers, some of the better connected insiders in Toronto, you started hearing from them that, you know, maybe David Nonis, maybe he wasn't going to walk right away. Maybe they were going to hang on to David Nonis at least through this year. Are you surprised at all at the depth of this house cleaning?
Well, clearly, Brendan has recognized that this club, number one, has not drafted well. We brought it up Saturday. Mm-hmm. Talked about the 2007 draft for Montreal, where they drafted with their first pick Ryan McDonagh. Not Hubie, but Ryan,
yes.
Captain for the Rangers. And their second pick in the first round, they drafted Max Pacioretty. Not a bad player.
No.
22nd. And then with their third pick, second round, they drafted a Norris Trophy winner in P.K. Subban.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs had yet to get to the podium. Like that you've rebuilt your team. And Trevor Timmons rebuilt his team in all of about 11 minutes.
Yes.
Okay, so they've looked at their drafting record and they've said, not good enough. You've missed on a lot of marks, and I would agree with Brendan. Whether it's 18 or 20 or 10, scouts haven't been good enough. And you just have to look historically at their drafting. Other than Morgan Riley, there's really nothing in two decades that has come to this team where I go, wow, that's a player. How did you find that player? That's a pretty good pick. You know, in fact, there was only three that played on Saturday night. Three drafted players. That's somewhat incredible to me for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 10 years, other than in 1 year, and has consistently drafted in the top rounds of the draft. Yeah. I know Detroit probably has a hard time finding these picks because they're typically drafting 26th, 25th, 23rd, but not this team. So I applaud that move. It is time for that move to happen. And with Dave Nonis, I love the fact he's a good hockey guy, and he's been around for three decades in this sport, four decades potentially. The Clarkson signing's his.
Mm-hmm.
You can't mask it. That's your signing. And so ownership looks at this and says, okay, we've got $51 million worth of players that aren't even playing in our roster. It's easy to applaud him for getting rid of Clarkson, but you made the mistake to begin with.
Right.
You signed Phil Kessel. You signed Dion Phaneuf. Dion Phaneuf, you could trade for sure, but okay, you're going to have to eat salary. So what does ownership think about that? And yeah, you could trade Phil Kessel. You're not going to get value back for him. What does ownership think about that? So you go down the list and you say to yourself, all right, we've had a failure with regards to scouting, a failure with regards to signing and procuring players, and the coaching element. Can you defend that?
Well, but
here... road wins. You talk about one of the most colossal flops in the history of sport from January 1st on. You can't defend it.
But Glenn, here's the thing, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here a bit. But Steve Spott, Peter Horacek, Steve Staios, those were Brendan / David Nonis hires, weren't they?
Totally.
So
I would argue that Horacek was probably Brendan's. You're the head guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dave Nonis, but it was Brendan that said, you're taking over the reins of the coaching staff. So, yeah, those are mistakes. And that's why I can look at what you're saying and say, are we in the right spot here? The one thing I do know
okay.
is that they have 18 cracks at making this team better in the next 2 years. You can make the team better in free agency where you overpay always. The agents have gotcha. Mm-hmm. You overpay. You can make the team better by a trade, and that's really hard to do, considering there are whispers now the cap may go down next year. Okay, that's good news. or you can do it at the podium, and they have 18 times in 2 years to make this team better, and they have two first-round picks in this year's draft, and they had best hit the mark on at least six of these 18 picks. And if you look historically what other teams do when it comes to the draft, even the really good teams, having that number be the number that you hit the mark on is extremely high.
What does or who does Brendan Shanahan need to get in here?
Paul Fenton.
Okay.
He is assistant general manager for Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
He rebuilt the team when they first came into being in Anaheim. He was part of that Jack Ferreira group that started with an original franchise, built that up to a pretty good group. And then with the Nashville Predators, you just have to look at his drafting record. You know, at one point this season, they had six defensemen in their lineup. He drafted all six defensemen. Which team has six defensemen in their lineup that you draft? It's the most important position, the one that's the hardest to hit on, and he had them all. So whoever comes in and takes the chair had best know what to do at the draft table, because that's what this team needs over the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I'd go with a guy who's done it before, a guy who's built something up. I wouldn't go with a Kyle Dubas. Worst trade in OHL history he made. I wouldn't go with that. I would go with a guy who's got experience. And to me, Paul Fenton is the guy who's done it before and done it at the table.
In conversation with Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada and on the Jeff Blair Show, you need a coach. You need a general manager. You know you're going to have Brendan Shanahan here. You know you're going to have Kyle Dubas here. You know Mark Hunter's going to be here. The new guys, plural, who come in here, do you think they'll be concerned about how much autonomy they're going to get? Like, one of my points here, Glenn, is I would rather there were nobody here. So bring Paul Fenton in, and then Paul Fenton can bring his coach in. And right now you've got three people above you, let alone not knowing who the hell's the president of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. Like, I mean, if I'm one of the game's big shooters and I'm looking to cash in, yeah, there's an allure to being the guy who turns the Leafs around. But you know what? Ask Phil Jackson what it's like trying to turn the New York Knicks around. I mean, he was a genius, and his reputation's taken a hit. In some way, the Leafs are the same thing. I don't know if one of the big marquee guys, Glenn, would want this job.
Well, you're bang on there, and the big marquee guys, there's whispers of that exact sentiment from them. Would you take this team over? Is that something you do? They question that. There's no question. But I think, they look at it, and you're probably going to get a lot of leeway. Mm. You're probably going to get a lot of power. You certainly have the money to spend on these guys. So there is that kind of addiction of, I can make it better. I can fix this. It's not going to take that long. And it is, as Brian Burke said once before, it's the Vatican of hockey. And so that attraction is there. They will get a good coach, because there will be good coaches available, whether it's San Jose's Todd McClellan, whether it is Mike Babcock, whether it is Joel Quenneville, who is at odds with Stan Bowman in Chicago. It's a name that, not many people look at and go, he'd be available? Yeah, he would be, potentially. If Babcock goes to Chicago, he'd be available. Because who knows what the first piece of this domino puzzle falls? You don't know. And so there'll be a good coach available, and there certainly will be a good person available to take this over because of the fact that it's Toronto. And you can, scouts don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
They don't. My friends are scouts. They don't make much money. You come to Toronto, you overpay guys that are scouts, you get a pretty good scouting staff. Simple as that. It's not much more complicated than the fact that they drive around with a coffee, a car, and they go to games all over the place, including places like Bay Como, which, it's only about a 30-minute drive from there to France. and they watch games night in, night out. And so if you want to take it to the next level and pay your scouts the appropriate amount, and you will get people in place that are well more than efficient to do the job.
There's nothing like a Saturday night in Bay Como.
You got your own teeth? You get in for free.
Glenn, I appreciate it. Take care. We'll do this again.
All right. Good stuff, Jeff. What a week.